Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi. So before we get started with the episode, I just wanted to say that the sound quality on this is a little lower than usual, I think because so many people are using Zoom right now that it cuts in and out a little bit. But I think the quality of the information presented here still is there, and I think that it's worth listening to, even with the sound quality being a little lower than normal. I am trying to be gentle with myself about this. So I appreciate you bearing with me that the sound quality is a little lower than normal. And I hope that you enjoy the episode, even with that being the case. Thank you so much for listening. Here's the episode. Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I'm your host, Martha Tyler, and this week we are going to be talking about the 5 love languages for kids. And to do that, I have brought back on Katie Leinecke. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. I'm on a billion Zoom calls and teaching 3 and 4-year-olds from home, which is pretty tricky, and nannying from home, which is also pretty tricky, but I feel like I'm starting to get the hang of it. So that's good, I guess.
That is good. And yeah, it is. We're all adjusting.
Yes, yes.
A lot of adjustments, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to do this topic, because I feel like all of us and our nanny kids especially need extra love right now. And so I thought that this would be a good episode for how talking about how to fill up kids' love tanks.
Yeah, totally.
Before we do that, let's just really quickly hear your background. We've heard it so many times. If you haven't listened to an episode with Katie, go back and listen to them. They're all wonderful. But let's hear a little bit about your background, Katie.
Yes, I'm a teacher. I teach 3 and 4-year-olds at a preschool in Evanston, Illinois, and I am also a nanny. I've been a teacher for 4 years. I've been a nanny for almost a decade, actually. I know, it's so delightful. I wrote a book that is currently in the process of obtaining an agent, and I actually just got a really lovely rejection letter that they said really nice things about my book, and I was like, oh my goodness. Aww. I know this is a no, but I'm so excited. Thanks for saying that. And yeah, I started a sort of a support group, I guess, for caregivers, for parents and nannies and teachers on Facebook, and I have a Twitter that I'm also trying to connect with people and help to inspire and support. And yeah, it's been a
great
ride.
Where can they, anyone curious who's listening, find you?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is @the_c_caregiver, one word. And my Facebook is @the_compassionate_caregiver, one word. Yeah, and soon I'm going to come out with my own podcast, Martha, because you inspired me.
And I cannot wait to listen. Yeah. And so we will have an episode about your book sometime soon. So just know if you're listening and you're like, wait, why are they just skipping past the book? I got to get my hands on that, which, yeah, I know. I've read it and it's so good.
Thank you.
Get ready. But that will be an episode in the future. So get ready. Wonderful. Okay. Let's talk about the five love languages for kids.
Yeah.
If you are unfamiliar with the five love languages, there's lots of different versions. I have the singles edition sitting next to me that I bought many, many years ago. Yeah. So, Katie, what are the five love languages?
Yeah. So the good news is, no matter what book you have chosen, the five love languages will be the same. Because it's written by Dr. Gary Chapman, and he his theory behind this is that you give and receive love in specific ways. And you usually have a primary love language that you're more likely to receive love in. You feel it more. And so those love languages are physical touch, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and quality time.
Yes. And if you are sitting there thinking, I have no idea, then you can go online and take the quiz.
Yeah,
and that super will fun. Help you get an idea. And there's actually is a quiz for kids too, although it's ages 9 to 14 is where what it's geared towards on their website. But it's still worthwhile potentially taking with an older kid.
Totally. And once you take the quiz, you will begin looking at everybody else and deciding what their love language is. Once you read the book and take the quiz, you'll consider yourself maybe an expert or an explorer.
Yeah. Or an investigator. With my nanny kids, we've been really big into using the word investigate. Do you want to go investigate that?
Yeah.
So that's in my language house right now. Wonderful. So let's kind of go through and talk about each of the love languages and just kind of break them down, a little bit more. And then we'll talk about how you can use this with, kids that you nanny for, and especially younger kids. Cause I think that that can be tricky, but it can be really worthwhile.
Totally. Okay. So do you want to just start off with physical touch since it's the first one I listed?
Let's do it.
Okay. So if you give and receive love via physical touch, this means that like cuddling, holding hands, hugs, a pat on the back, those kinds of things are really meaningful to you. They make you light up, if you will. With children, obviously, it's all totally, it should be safe touch is the big highlight there. Touch that the child feels comfortable with. But it's sort of not choosing not to reject a child when they come in for a hug. Or you can certainly set limits to be like, that hurts me when you do that. If they like jump on you.
Right.
But being like, let's play a game where you run into my arm. So you can still sort of meet that need and also be able to set your own safe boundaries.
Yes. And I think modeling, setting those boundaries is almost as important as honoring their need for the physical touch.
Absolutely.
Both parts need to be there.
Yes. So some of the ways that you can do this that will build in natural ways to meet a child there for this need is you can give back scratches. You can sit next to each other and read separate books or read books together. You can, at bedtime, if you're the parent or if you're an evening nanny, you can snuggle the child while you guys talk about your day before bed, or you could watch a show sitting next to each other. You can play games where you hold hands and spin around. The pitfalls of this is any kind of, this goes for all love languages, actually. Where you feel love the most is also where you can be wounded the most in this love language. So if your love language is physical touch, hurtful touch or unsafe touch is a huge huge pain area for these people, emotional pain and physical pain. But lack of physical touch then is also a huge area of hurt. So finding ways to balance that, to be able to make sure that all touch is consensual for the child and it's like safe and feels appropriate.
Yes. Very important. One way, cause I have had a child that, physical touch, I'm pretty sure was their primary love language. And, one thing that we found to be really fun is like doing each other's hair. So just to throw that out there of like, it felt more structured for me. And then also she always wanted to sit in my lap. So that was another clue.
Yeah.
That the doing the hair, we would get out her basket of all of her hair ribbons and she would put them all in my hair and then I would put them all in her hair and she loved that. So
that's wonderful. That's great. Yeah. And likewise doing each other's nails or giving piggyback rides, finding ways to sort of connect so that they feel that love especially.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. What was the next one that you listed?
Words of affirmation was next. And this one is mine. That is my love language. And it is my love language like, whoa. So people whose love language are words of affirmation, this means that you can give and receive love with this person by telling them something you noticed about them that was really special. You can highlight their efforts in a certain area, telling them you love them. This is also, so when you say you love somebody or you say something positive about this person who receives love, with words, it's really important that you put a period after the positive thing. So, it's not, I love you, but, or I love you when, it's I love you and that's it. Or instead of saying, I noticed you were super kind to your brother. If only you could do that more often. What you say is, I noticed you were so kind to your brother. That was really special. I really enjoyed seeing that. Mm-hmm. You're a very thoughtful child. So you're not qualifying your love. You're not hiding some kind of wish for a changed behavior in there. You're saying what you saw and what you valued, and it has a profound impact. And also you're way more likely to get a repeat on non-conditional I love yous or non-conditional praise, or not really praise, but encouragement of the behavior you want to see repeated, mm-hmm. than you are if you qualify it.
Yeah. And just to add a little bit for some other ideas, I also have found with this love language, actively listening is really, really important. So not only to offer up those words of affirmation, but also really to listen to their words
totally
is important for this love language. And then also thinking about, you know, writing a card or
yes,
for older children, sending a text,
yes,
things like that, or for adults in your life, if you want to apply this to adults, or thinking about when you are now looking at your nanny family through these new eyes, thinking about your mom boss and mom dads, you know, like all of that through this filter too.
Totally. And finding ways to, like you said, the writing notes, put a note in the child's lunch, putting notes by their bedside. So Martha is my friend and Martha sends me cards. I actually have a bunch of cards on my desk right here from Martha, because they're very meaningful to me. My roommate, she is a good friend of mine too. She leaves me post-it notes on the mirror because she knows my love language is words. Mm. There are tons of ways you can do this for kids. Sing songs about, pretend to make up a song on the spot being like, oh, Susanna, you always try hard. You know, like kids will find the humor in it. They'll enjoy it. Beware, this is a pitfall, beware unkind words and tone. Any kind of harsh tone is going to crumple this child. An insult, or even if you're not trying to insult the child, you're not trying to be critical, anything like that has doubly heavy for that child. So we recommend at my school, anytime you're delivering a correction or a wish for a changed behavior for a child like this, You have to do the compliment sandwich. Are you familiar with that, Martha? I bet you are.
Actually, I am. And we've talked about it on the podcast before, but just as a review, will you help me?
Yes. So this is, I was going to say, I know actually that you know this because we talk about it. So for the listeners who might not be familiar, a compliment sandwich is when you have a request for a changed behavior inside of two things that are related to the behavior that are positive. So say you really wanted me, your nanny child or your regular child, who knows, to take my shoes off and put them beside the door instead of tramping my mud in through the house. So what you might say is you might say, oh, Katie, I have noticed you have a really good time playing outside. It is so fun to play outside with you. I really love it. I love that we traipse through the mud. I love the adventurous stories we tell. You have a really creative mind. When there's muddy footprints on the floor when we come in, it makes me feel sad. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could help me by remembering to take your shoes off when you come inside before you get to the living room. And then you would close with, I know that's hard to remember, but I also know you can do it too because you are a kid who remembers things. I notice that you work really hard and you're so kind and thoughtful. So I know that even though it might be hard to do, that you can do that. Do you think you'd be willing to try that with me? And that's a compliment sandwich. So I don't feel like you're criticizing me for not taking my shoes off and you're not sort of deteriorating the quality time we just spent together. But you're building me up, asking for a change in behavior, building me up again to know that I am capable of doing it, and then asking me if I'm willing to do it, which shows that it's a request and not a demand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's a really good point. And also the point about tone. Mm-hmm. I think just checking in with your own tone, even when you're feeling extra prickly,
totally
is really, really important. All for everyone, but especially for children, who words of affirmation is their primary love language. I have a question because I know that this is your primary love language. Mm-hmm. Do you find that kind of like empty praise is more harmful to you, like that, like when you hear good job that doesn't have anything around it? Does that, I know it probably doesn't crush you, but does it feel hollow, more hollow to you?
That is a great question. I wouldn't say like it's not insulting to me. I do, since I am worth, I do love a good praise of what I've done.
Right.
And also we came from a generation where we were kind of turned into praise junkies as opposed to encouragement, because all of our teachers in school said, good job. And we were like, oh, okay, tell me nothing then, I guess.
Right.
But I do find that especially in like my personal relationships, if when people are like, I love you, or that's great, I'm like, what? Tell me what's great about it. I want to know, like, tell me specifically how you love me and why. Right. So, which is actually, I'm really lucky because I currently am with a partner who does love me in my love language. And I was like, what? What is this? Is this what it's like? I'm so happy all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes a huge difference. Because really, the reality is when you are giving love or trying to express your love for someone, if you are speaking in another language, which is why this is called the five love languages, and I don't speak that language, I might be able to pull out a few words because I understand that you speak that language, and I might notice that these are some things that you do repeatedly. I'm not going to feel it the way that I could if you're speaking in my native language. I'm going to understand it far better if you're speaking to me in the way that I was raised to understand and believe and feel. So I do think that you're right, that there's a, like that empty hollowness does, it leaves you wanting more. It's not insulting, but it definitely makes me like curious. And it feels, in some ways it feels a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do is stopping yourself from saying good job.
Yes.
Comes out all the time. You're like, oh, good job on how you took your backpack off and put it away and took out your lunch. And it's like,
Yep. Yep. I also
transition for sure.
Yeah. I also think that especially with words of affirmation, that sports casting is extra important of,
oh yeah,
of just commenting on exactly what they're doing.
Totally.
I see you picking up that cup of water. Oh, you dumped it into the big cup.
Yeah. That's one of the ways that we, in my classroom, we get children who don't clean up to clean up. Mm. We just say what we they're people doing. We're like, wow, Defon, that you are picking up so many blocks. And then all of a sudden there are 10 kids coming over to the blocks to pick up. And you're like, wow, Jake, I really see that you are lifting that heavy dollhouse and you're using teamwork with Neva. That's amazing. And so you're kind of like, just, even if you just say what you see, it's pretty amazing how it makes most children, they're hungry for it. They really want that kind of attention.
Yeah, yeah. I use it in my nanny share too, all the time. Yeah. With only two children, it still works wonders. Yeah. Great. What's the next love language?
The third one I have listed, I don't know what order he does them in the books, but because it's kind of like naming the seven dwarves. You get through four and you're like, which one have I not said? The next one I have listed was gifts. And this is Martha's love language.
It is. Although I think acts of service is making...
Yeah.
It's becoming more so for me. But yes, gifts has consistently been my top love language.
Yes. Well, acts of service, I believe, is a gift.
Right.
You know, it's a gift of your physical help.
Yes.
So, okay, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Gifts, I'm already trying to switch now. Gifts are obviously gifts, but they don't have to be expensive. So it's like, I saw you looking at this chapstick and I knew you wanted it, so I got it for you. Or I know that you love daisies and I saw one growing out of the ground right by my house and I picked it up and I brought it to you because I love you. Like it's helping the child to feel noticed. It can certainly be a gift that you go out and buy, but the pitfall here is you have to be careful about overdoing gifts, doing too many, too much, too often. And you have to be careful because you need developmentally age-appropriate gifts. Mm-hmm. So we call it, I think we abbreviate it as DAP in early childhood, developmentally appropriate, age-appropriate. So it has to do with like what will actually serve the child at this age. Like you're not going to get your 4-year-old a Ferrari, lovely gift, you know, great. If you want to get me a,
you can get me one
for sure. Let's do it. You wouldn't take somebody who's allergic to shellfish out to a 5-star restaurant. Can you get 5 stars at a restaurant? Is it 3 stars?
That's the max. 4 stars.
You wouldn't take them out to the max amount of Michelin star sushi restaurant because they're allergic.
Right.
You want to make sure that gifts are intelligent. They're developmentally age appropriate. There's nothing more insulting than a gift that I don't know you. To a person. I once got a gift from a former boyfriend who bought me season 2 of Lost, of a TV show I didn't watch. And I was like, I don't understand why you did this. I'm not even a gifts person, but I was like, this reaffirms that maybe we shouldn't be dating. Yes, but think about what they like. Show them that you know them, and it doesn't have to be expensive or kind of over the top. Just like, I bought us brownie mix to make so that we could spend time doing that together.
Yeah, or like a thing that lets me know that my love language is gifts is, so I studied abroad in college in England, and one of my roommates was German. And that is not important to the story, except that when I left England, I probably would never see her again. You know what I mean?
Sure, like, sure.
It's highly unlikely that I will see her in the physical world again. And she gave me a little package and she was like, don't open this until you're home. And it was this little rock that she had painted and she wrote a story about the rock and like incorporated things that we had done together in England into the story about the rock.
Oh,
and I still have that rock. I still think about it, you know, like,
yeah,
the thoughtfulness of that gift was what made it so special. And she didn't spend any money except for, I guess, supplies of like maybe the paint and the paper, but you know, like she didn't spend any money on it, but I still think about it.
Totally.
So, and I think like treasure hunts for kids, like even with their own stuff, but like that surprise factor of it is also important to me, at least in this love language of like, I love surprises. Katie threw me a surprise birthday party this year, last year.
It was so hard, you guys. It was so hard to get her to not know, because she's such a planner and she wants to know all the information and she knows everybody.
It's, but you did
so
it.
I told her we're going to a magic show and she was like, oh, I actually have a friend who works there. And I was like, oh, very difficult.
But I told Katie that literally any other friend I don't think could have pulled it off, because I do trust Katie so much that I was like,
so nice.
She knows what she's doing.
That was, yeah.
A lot of my other friends, I would have been like, no, let me see the tickets. Like,
yeah, let me help you. I think you're wrong.
I think you're misunderstanding. But like my love tank was so full after that for so long. So the surprise element, I think, is also not critical, but like is a good part to keep in mind if this is not your love language, but is someone that you love language.
Totally, totally. It's like the delight of knowing that somebody was thinking of you and you didn't realize they were thinking of you.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then the payoff of it. So yeah, like waking up from a nap and having a treasure hunt.
Oh, so cool.
So cool. Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I feel like we should, I have acts of services next, but I feel like we should skip over to quality time, because I feel like that bleeds right into quality time. So do you mind if we go out of order?
I don't okay. at all.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of mind, but it's my suggestion. So we'll pretend like it's fine.
Well, on my list, we actually are going in order. So.
Oh, perfect. That's great. As long as we're obeying a list somewhere.
Yes.
So then let's skip to quality time. Because quality time, like Martha's treasure hunt idea, or me being like, oh, let's have, I bought you brownie mix so we could make brownies together. That actually bleeds into quality time. Mm-hmm. And quality time is time with a loved one, a child or an adult, whoever, where you are not doing anything but being together. You're making eye contact. You're not looking at a book. You're not necessarily even watching a movie. Sometimes you can, and that's fine too. Sometimes quality time for the pair is like we sit together and snuggle and read separate books, and that's nice too. Mm-hmm. But quality time is really, it makes your child or partner or whoever you're spending this quality time with feel like you love them and you see them and you are making time for them. You're not tweeting or texting or distracted with other things like from work. If you're a nanny, this might be your work, so might be a little easier. Right. But you're taking the time to really slow down, look at the person, hear them, hopefully reflectively listen, even listening for the unmet need, which I'm sure is another podcast. Just sort of acknowledging that that person is valuable by paying attention to them. Some pitfalls of this, which I think people already can guess, is if you use isolation as a punishment, if you're using that as a tool to get the desired behavior, that's going to be really severe for someone's love language is quality time. And for that, I would recommend you listening to Martha's cool down time, alternatives to timeouts episode, which I actually think I helped you record. I can't
you
really
did.
Remember now, but I know I've listened to it.
You okay. definitely helped me record
you listen
that one.
To Martha and,
and it actually is the most listened to episode.
Ever, nice.
So
good for us.
Good for us.
Yeah. We're all looking for alternatives to timeouts, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think the reality that we all know is timeouts don't really work. The children come out often just as upset or secretly upset, which is worse because you can't address it. So instead of doing an isolating timeout, we recommended our school a cool down time. So we we also take safety breaks if they're being safe, or we're like, it looks like your body's not being safe. Let's go over and sit on this bench together until you feel like you're ready to be safe. And right. The key is I'm staying with you. Mm-hmm. If you want me to be there, I'm with you. Some children don't want you to be there. So you ask them, you say, do you want me to stay or do you want to be alone? And the child will, if the child is quality time love language, they're going to say they want you to stay. Right. And that's okay. You say, okay, how can I help you? Should we read a book? Should we count to 10? Do you want to do belly breathing with a stuffed animal on our belly and see how high we can make them with our bellies? You help mm-hmm. them, you give them the skills to calm down. And that takes away the severity of the punishment for those children who are quality time. So beware of isolating punishments. Mm-hmm. Also, another pitfall of this one is I think sometimes parents and caregivers feel like, oh my gosh, this kid is quality time. I'm never going to get anything done again if I acknowledge that their love language is quality time. And that's not true. It's going to be okay. Kids really understand that you have other things you need to do. And in fact, the giving them the quality time before you need to do something allows you to do it without them continually interrupting you. It is like a miracle. So you want to say to the kid, like, you know what? I have to prepare dinner for your mom and dad at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever time you work until that you might need to prepare dinner. Right. And say, how about for 30 minutes before that, we go play Legos together? Would you like that? And they might say, I'd love it. Or they might say, I'd rather play cards with you. And you'd say, great, let's play cards. I'll set a timer. So that way the child gets that quality time and they're feeling fed. They're not feeling starved for your attention. So you can actually then do the thing you need to do without the child being like, look at me, look at me, look at me. What are you doing? Look at me. And it's for me, for someone whose brain needs to do one thing at a time, it's a miracle.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. So.
Yeah. I will also say, if you are finding that one or multiple of your nanny children's love language is quality time, mm-hmm. looking for ways to do those chores together.
Yes. Yes. I saw that too.
Is also crucial. So mm-hmm. Give them, you know, a broom, give them their own little, you know, the little hand broom and let them sweep up with you or let them help you prepare dinner or whatever it is
totally.
That you're trying to do. Look for ways. And I know, I totally know that sometimes that is easier said than done.
Yeah.
And that there are a lot of expectations that you're meeting in the day. So be gentle with yourself and the child. But I think that, finding ways to let the child do your chores with you benefits mm-hmm. everyone. And it teaches them really great life skills.
Totally.
So win, win, win.
How often do you get to have a win, win, win?
Like hardly ever. You have to fight
like,
for them.
Yeah. Like now in this instance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then not again.
I can't think of other ones at the moment.
I love it.
Yeah. So, and quality time, I think as nannies is so lovely because mm-hmm. it's part of our job, you know, that's kind of the basis is that we are given this opportunity that our work is quality time with a child. So,
and how lucky are we?
Right. And that is, it's so lovely that our work is not pulling us away from the child. Our work is pulling us toward the child. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Oh, well said. I like that.
Thank you. I just came up with it.
Yeah.
The caffeine is hitting.
Yes. Good. Lean into it. Feel the power. Yeah.
I will warn everyone listening. My fire alarm, my smoke detector, ran out of batteries at 2 a.m.
Oh no.
And so I was awoken and you have to get really awake to change batteries in mm-hmm. a smoke detector. Cause you have to climb up on a ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remember where the batteries are. So, I'm cruising on not as much
fumes.
And I went to bed early. Like I was like, I'm going to be anyway.
That's a slap in the face to your foiled. Early bedtime.
I know.
That's not okay.
Foiled by by the thing that's trying to protect me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm over here like, I got no sense of time anymore. I'm like, struggling to film curriculum videos during the day. And then it's like 9 p.m. And I'm like, should I crank out three right now? I think I will.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It does. Okay, great. Okay.
And our last one, acts of service. So acts of service, so you said your amazing idea of chores, which I think is a great idea to do them together. The work gets done faster, win, win, win. They do the chores and everybody's happy because you're filling their buckets, as we say in my preschool. Mm-hmm. So acts of service, maybe you have a kid who really hates the laundry and it's their job to fold their laundry. I personally work with a child who does hate to do she does her own laundry, which is amazing, but she does hate it a little bit, because laundry is the worst of all chores because you have to always do it no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so, she's really amazing. And every so often I will do her entire laundry for her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to rob her of the experience of doing her laundry. It's important to need to know what that takes and to, you know, kind of be responsible for your own backpack, if you will. Right. Backpack meaning like daily things you have to take care of. But every now and again, if I want to cheer her up or make her feel loved, I will be like, oh, surprise, I already did your laundry for you. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, she's so joyful. She really loves it. So these can be things like, if it's, you know, an adult, maybe like clearing their car, the snow off their car for them, or for a kid being like, I know you hate unloading the dishwasher and today I did it for you, even though it's your chore. Or I know that you really love, and this is kind of gifts too, so we're going to get to this, but I know that you really love homemade granola bars and I made some for you today so you could take in your lunch tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a gift and an act of service. There are tons of ways to do this. Like, you know, don't let the job creep. I'm sure you, as a nanny, you know all about job creep.
Yes.
Don't
let, and we have an episode chores, about it.
Yes. Don't let their chores become job creep for you. Right. But every once in a while, engage in that kind of behavior. It's always okay to say no to what they ask you for. If a child is an acts of service child, and they want you to do something, you can say no kindly, as long as you explain why. So it's really important for, I think, all humans, but for this example, we'll say children. I think it's important for children to know why you're saying no. It feels better. It doesn't leave them wondering. They don't feel like you are against them. If you say, I really understand you hate to do your laundry, and today I can't help you with that today because my list of things I'm doing for your mom and dad is a little bit longer. And I want you to remember that, you know, it's your chore to do, but what if I wash your lunch dishes for you while I'm washing, you know, your mom and dad's lunch dishes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So just sort of not necessarily compromising, but acknowledging the child's need and want in that moment. What they're really saying is like, I want you to say you love me or show me that you love me. And you can do it in smaller, different ways that fit better with what you have on your plate for the day.
Yeah, I find for me, because this is my secondary, but just barely. for me, any sort of planning on my behalf is really lovely, especially when it's, when it's well planned. And or organizing. Like right now, my mom is, I selected a bunch of t-shirts and I asked for a t-shirt quilt for my birthday or Christmas. I was like, any, you know, major gift giving time, I would love for this to be one of my gifts. And I picked all the t-shirts, but my mom is currently like, she's putting them out on my bed at home and like sending me different configurations.
Ooh, cool.
And being like, do you like this one better or this one better? And then also saying, I think I like this one better. Here's why. And that is filling up my like love bucket. So far.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, she's really taking time to like, do this correctly for me.
Yeah.
And it really is showing me how much she loves me, which I know, but it's so lovely to feel it.
Totally, totally. And it's, I think, especially as adults, as kids, actually, decision fatigue is real. Mm-hmm. And kids come home from school, or now they exit their bedroom where they've been on a screen all day, and right. they are tired, they are stressed, they've been having to do a lot. And it's overwhelming to see, just like for adults, to be like, oh, look at all this work I have to do, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. The advantage of going to school and having a teacher or having a nanny is that they don't give you all the information at once, so you don't freak out.
Right.
So helping them to make certain decisions, that is a way, an act of service of being like, hey, you know what? I know you got a lot on your plate. What if I help you by, you know, choosing several outfits for you to choose from for this? Not that your kids are going on a vacation with their parents anytime soon, but for example, when we can go on vacations again, I'll choose 10 outfits for your 4-day trip. Why don't you choose your favorite 4 then? So it's less for you to think about and you can spend that time playing. Things like that. That really does help because you're putting in the time and energy to make it easier on them, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's really lovely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's talk. We've kind of been talking about ways that these overlap a little.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit more about, because I feel like in a household, there can be several love languages. And so finding ways to honor all of the children in your care's love languages at the same time is lovely.
Totally. So interestingly enough, Gary Chapman suggests in the book, Dr. Gary Chapman, I'm pretty sure he's a doctor, Gary Chapman.
Yeah.
Our old friend, Gary Chap, he suggests that you give and receive love in the ways that you have seen love given and received in your household. Mm-hmm. So, which is interesting because you expect that they would all be the same, but they're not, like you said.
Right.
So I have a sister who is gifts. I have a sister who is quality time, and I am words of affirmation. How hard to say how that happened, except for that those are probably our parents' love languages, their first and second, and one of them affected us.
Right.
So the reality too is Chapman argues that children need to, actually he doesn't argue, he like insists it, mm-hmm. that children need to receive love in all 5 languages. And that, I mean, that is a recipe for success. If you can meet a child or a partner and try to actively love people in all 5 languages, you're going to have very happy relationships, as long as they're willing to do so back, you know?
Right.
So that's really important to note. And the top choice love language, which is what I think Martha is getting at, is that, which I know that's what you're getting at, I believe,
yes.
is that your top choice love language, it strengthens your bond between 2 people and it like keeps away unwanted behavior. So mm-hmm. honoring multiple love languages is really important, like you said. So some ways you can do this are, say, like we've kind of already talked about it, like doing chores. If you have one child who his love language is acts of service and he normally does the gardening for you guys or some kind of like weeding,
mm-hmm.
but another child is quality time, you can say, you know what? I keep thinking of the same kid names. You know what?
Charles.
Whoever you are. Yeah, okay. Like, you know what, Charles, I know you really don't like to, you don't want to weed today. And I totally get that. Sometimes I don't want to do my chores either. What if, Shivam and I weed the garden for you today? Shivam, would you like to weed the garden with me? So Shivam, who is quality time, will be like, yes, I would love that. Cause it's time with you doing a special activity where there are no phones and there are no TVs or books to distract you. And mm-hmm. Charles gets the benefit of acts of service. And perhaps you are, or perhaps somebody's gift. So maybe you're weeding the garden and your spouse or the mom of the family, whoever, gifts. And you're like, let's make her a bouquet of dandelions or violets while we're out here too. So you can do, in fact, it's very easy to do all of them at once if you are thinking about it and being intentional.
Yes. The more you think about it, the more you're going to find opportunities to love people in these specific ways. And I think you'll be surprised at how, with minimal effort, how you can accommodate all of these love languages, if you're willing to try.
Yes. Another thing to think about is how you receive the love language of the child. So children famously love to give, you know, pebbles and flowers and
treasure
and treasures to you. So really, like, saying thank you in that moment, looking them in the eyes, saying thank you, and putting it in your pocket, and maybe like later pulling it out and being like, oh my gosh, look, this, I still have your gift. Just thinking about that, or if they give you a compliment, or they give you, you know, the, I had this one kid way before I was even a nanny, when I was babysitting, and we were kicking a soccer ball in the backyard, and I was very bad at it that day in particular. Soccer's never been my strongest suit, but I was not doing well getting in the goal that day. And he, like, I got in the goal, and he was like, "You did it, Martha!" And, you know, like, just celebrating with him, just thinking about, even if a child tried to do an act of service and it made the kitchen very messy, just honoring the act of service versus focusing on the messy kitchen.
Totally, totally. Because again, where we feel love the most is also where we have the most potential to feel pain. So if you are not recognizing the acts of service of the child trying to cook for you, and instead you're focusing on the negative side, that's really going to hurt. It's going to hurt so bad.
Yeah. So
being cognizant is really smart. That's a great suggestion, Martha.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know that sometimes, especially if it's not your primary or secondary love language, that sometimes you can brush it off in a way, without realizing it, not out of malice, but just like, yeah, I did kick it into the goal, you know, like, instead of celebrating with him, if I had been like, I did do it. I feel like that would have been a complete letdown.
Yeah, of course. Children really want, this is kind of a tangent, but children really want us to meet them where they're at emotionally. So if they're excited, they want us to be excited. Right. And if they're mad, they want us to also feel the anger. You don't have to feel it, but copy your face to match their face, or make your voice match their voice. And even if you're just stating back what they've already said to you, it helps them to know that you are understanding what they're saying, and you're picking it up on a almost subconscious level, even if you're consciously thinking about doing it. But
right.
Yeah.
But making it look easy.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
That's the battle. Yeah. So just, I think being aware of the child's love language. But I love that point about that really we should be providing all five love languages.
Does he,
because I have not read the five love languages for children. Does he talk in there at all about, like, is there an age that love languages get more solidified?
Ooh, such an interesting question. So, he affirms that love languages are kind of like your temperament. So they stay with you for life. Like, that's just what you have. Although it is kind of formed by your parents. So I think that you can, as a parent, by the time we get them as nannies, a lot of times it's already there.
Right.
But you can keep feeding it and make them feel love in different areas. So they're more, it's kind of like a developmental window where they're like more open to understanding the different love languages, the more that you feed these love languages in this young age. However, so he, I think a lot of
points are that while love languages do stay with you for life, that through different ages and stages, which is like another, it's like another early childhood term I'm sure you guys have heard or will hear soon. I mean, you just did, so I guess that counts. Ages and stages, like you see them show up in different ways. So sometimes a child who is physically affectionate, who needs and wants a lot of that physical affection, may turn into a teenager who likes to roughhouse and wrestle, which will really kind of freak out some people.
Right.
Because you'll be like, please stop wrestling with your brother when I want you to not hurt each other. But it's in a form of affection. So, but right. Finding ways to recognize that these things sort of shift as you age into different expressions of the same love language. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. So it's themes versus the concrete everyday ways it shows up might change, but the theme of it stays the same.
Yeah. Like the change, you're not going to change routes. You're on the same highway that you were on, but you might change lanes in that highway
right.
and be on a different lane, you know?
Yeah. So some days you might go faster. Some days you might go slower.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good metaphor.
Excellent.
I appreciated it. Wonderful. What are some ways that you can help spot what your child's love language is?
Yeah. So my first suggestion to everybody is actually talk to children about this. Tell them about the love languages. Tell them you listen to this podcast with the amazing Miss Martha. No big deal, but she's great. And tell them what they are and say, tell them about your love language and ask them to say what they think theirs might be. In my early childhood classes, when I was training to be a teacher, I had a teacher who used to say, children spell love, T-I-M-E, which I think mm-hmm. is actually a quote from somebody else that I don't know because I've seen it after that.
Right.
But she always used to say it like almost every class period is children spell love, time, and the word of time. It's time together, time where you're paying attention to them. So I think that there's a natural way that all children feel love by time together. I think they're all kind of quality time. Mm-hmm. And then I think from there, you can see what the other love languages might be mm-hmm. by talking to them about it, by you can even experiment, see what affects them, see what really lights them up. Does it light them up when you play together? Does it light them up when you guys give each other hugs at the end of the day? Does your child find joy baking together? Could they not care less about you guys working on an activity together? Does the kid love when you bring them surprises? You know, like there are ways to tell. Does the kid find joy when you do their laundry for them? I mean, who doesn't? Come to my house, do my laundry.
Yeah. Do you often feel like you are the jungle gym? I feel like that's a good, physical touch thing.
Totally.
If you constantly have a child on you.
Totally. Or like, look at me. If you, I mean, I think you are going to hear that a lot
right.
as a nanny, but that's quality time. Play with me, quality time. Can't you do it? That's acts of service. You know? Yeah.
Do you like this?
Yes. Words of affirmation. Totally. Oh, do you like this?
I know.
It's a killer for me.
I know it's really hard, but I hear it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's difficult.
It is.
Yeah. And then finding ways to fill them up before they ask is a really powerful tool for kind of behavior management before it becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. Because children who feel better, I feel like I got this from you, Martha, and I don't know where you got it from or if you came up with it.
I don't think I did, but.
Children who feel better do better.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what I've heard you say that time and time again.
Changed it from
like a Brené Brown.
No,
sort of thing.
I think it was Maya Angelou.
Maybe, but we could just credit you for it instead.
Fine. Yeah. When you feel better, you do better.
Martha Tyler.
Martha Tyler. it is. It's so true, though.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think the best method is potentially just trying to hit them all.
Yeah.
Like any given day, trying to do all of these is the best course of action, but also talking with your kids about it, if they're able to talk about it, or like I was thinking, because I'm working with 2-year-olds right now, and when we had scheduled to record this, I then, you know, really put on my glasses to examine, and I was like, yeah, one of my kiddos tries to give me her toys all the time.
Aww, gifts.
Yeah. And I really think gifts. And when I give her something, I gave her a little like a postal service bag that I found at Target, like made out of felt, with little letters made out of felt in there, and there's stamps that are Velcroed on. And her mom told me the other day, she was like, she plays with that all the time.
Aw, that's so sweet.
So yes, I think hers are gifts versus my other nanny kid. When I arrive every morning, now especially, so when I used to arrive, I would, she would be like, put your stuff goes up there and then, and then pick me up.
Yes, totally.
And now
the snuggles.
And now it's, your stuff goes there, wash your hands with soap, then pick me up.
Yes, she knows. Well trained.
Yeah. And she loves like tickles, and we talk about boundaries. If she ever says no, I stop. And even and sometimes she looks at me and she's like, why stop?
And
you said no. Anytime you say no, I'm going to stop.
Yes.
But she will ask me for tickles, and we've talked about that. Or she asked me to do like crisscross applesauce on her back.
Or physical touch,
play with her hair, all that good stuff. She's constantly in my lap. So yes, I would say hers is physical touch, and they're 2. So
yeah, totally.
So I think that once you start looking for it, I think it becomes clear. But they also both do light up when, you know, I sportscast to them, and they light up when I help them with drawing or doing an activity, or I like open the marker for them, you know.
Absolutely.
Before they ask.
And just like it benefits us as humans to be bilingual. Mm-hmm. We have a better chance of communicating with people. It benefits us to be bilingual in our love languages too. So if we can give children this opportunity to feel them all and practice them all, then they're going to be so much happier in their later adult relationships, because if they have a partner who just has one like way above the rest, they're still going to feel love from that partner. Because they, or at least they have a better chance of feeling love from that partner, because they've had practice from a young age of receiving in all the love languages. So I think that's important.
Yeah. And I think the piece of talking about it with them, and I think that you can do that earlier than you might be thinking.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know you've seen it, Martha. I think it would be fun to share with your audience, the little love languages where it's like
the tacos.
Burrito, like number one, I made you a burrito gifts. Number two, oh no, acts of service.
Yeah.
Number two. Yeah. No. I made you a burrito, gifts. Number two, I went out and got you a burrito, acts of service. Number three, come here, let me hold you like a burrito, physical touch. Four, this burrito you made is delicious, words of affirmation. And five, I can't remember the last one now. Oh, which one did I not say?
Quality time.
Quality
time. Let's eat these burritos together.
Exactly.
Quality time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll post that. With this episode. So check out the Chronicles of Nania Instagram and Facebook for that. It is. It's very funny. And it's so true what you've said from the beginning of this episode, in that once you start thinking about this, You will see it everywhere.
Absolutely. And you'll start being like, I wonder what Steve's love language is. I wonder what my mom's love language is. I wonder what, and it'll make you a better friend, parent, caregiver, partner, nanny, teacher, whoever you are, spouse. It'll make you more loving and valuable, like not valuable, but available, which is really special. That's a really cool gift to give.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, we've talked a lot about children, but especially right now, you are going into work, or not, you can find ways to give these love languages from afar. But if you are going into work, you're all there together, probably. So just thinking of if you want to offer extra support to the parents, I think that they, at right now, everyone will appreciate any form of support.
Absolutely.
But if you wanted to really tailor it to them, thinking about your nanny parents' love languages and how to speak to them in those ways, I think is lovely.
Yeah, I agree.
As well as, yeah, I really do try to consciously meet all of these at least once a day, but really more like once an hour.
Yeah, totally. I think it's really important to get all of them on.
Yeah.
Seriously, every moment is an opportunity to give and receive love. So
it's so true.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I love that.
Go team.
Go team. Wonderful. Is there anything else?
I don't think so. I think that we covered a lot. I read the books because they're fantastic.
Yes.
I think you'll love them. If you're interested in it, take the quiz, like Martha said, online. It's a fun way to learn about the people around you and about yourself.
Yes. Yes. And there are a lot of online resources. So keep that in mind too, that if you are not in a place to afford buying a book and the libraries are closed right now, that
totally
you can get a long way just online.
Can you do ebooks from the library right now?
Yes.
Cool.
Because I'm borrowing audiobooks.
Yeah. I was like, I wonder if you can. But yes. I feel like
you can still do ebooks, but the wait list is long because
I believe that. Yeah.
Everybody needs an ebook.
Yeah.
So just keeping that in mind. But you could also, a lot of times the Kindle versions of things are less expensive than the physical books. So that's potentially an option. Things like that. So, and there are a lot of online resources. And I will post links certainly to the Five Love Languages website.
Awesome.
They're already down in the show notes. So just go down there.
Awesome.
As well as Katie's Compassionate Caregiver Facebook and Instagram. Wait, do you have an Instagram?
I don't. My mom's okay. Like, you need to get one. I was like, I know.
I know.
I can only do so much social media. I'm trying.
Yeah.
Twitter.
So if you look down at the show notes, you will see the Five Love Languages link as well as links to Katie's Compassionate Caregiver Facebook and Twitter accounts so that you can start following her there and get immediate information about her book release as well as really helpful hints and tricks and not even tricks, like just good quality childcare.
Tactics and techniques. I always want to say tricks too.
Yeah. I know, but it's, yeah, the connotation of that word is
great.
Yeah, because it's not tricking anyone. Tactics and techniques to give quality childcare and compassionate childcare. Mm-hmm. So check that out. And then we end each episode with a fun story.
Would you like me to tell you a fun story?
I would love a fun story from you, Katie, please.
Okay. It is a love language related story.
Oh my gosh, perfect.
So I am a big fan of love languages and I talk about them with kids a lot so that they can kind of understand and have a language of understanding themselves. And one child, I was talking about them in my classroom, about how kids feel like joy and love in different ways. And we were like going around, I talked to them about the five love languages. And one kid was like, I feel love when I get to eat brownies. And I was like, oh, so yours is gifts. And they were like, no, my love language is brownies. And I was like, oh, okay. I think that might be a new sixth love language for all of us.
Oh, that's adorable. And also, I feel
it. I know,
it.
I love it.
I feel it in my soul.
Yeah, not inaccurate. I just didn't consider that. I think we should write to Dr. Chapman and let him know that he missed in his research one. So we can reformat the quiz appropriately.
And it is brownies. Yeah, I made a Facebook post like a year ago now that was like, is people listening to my podcast recommendations a love language? Because I think it's mine.
Yeah, I think so. I would call that quality time.
Yeah, because it would too. Or acts of service.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because it's like you went and did a thing
for me,
just for me, so that I could talk to you about it, which Katie, you have done so often. So I appreciate it. Read books or listen to podcasts or watch shows.
Yeah, we
so
actually
have a friend to talk about it.
A new book we have to have book club about.
Oh, yes. What is it?
I read your book, Burnout, you suggested. So, book Burnout.
Okay, great.
I know. We got to have book club soon. Okay.
We do. Okay. Right. Well, this has been so lovely. Thank you so much, Katie. I really, really appreciate you taking the quality time, giving me the gift of your time.
Wow.
And scheduling this with me as an act of service. You are so wonderful and thoughtful, and I really do mean that. I know it's kind of joking.
But I know. I was like, I wonder if she can make it all the way through this. Physical touch
is really hard right now. But we did start this podcast before we hit record. We did a pretend hug. So
yeah, and if we just supplement with the love language of brownies, you know what I mean? I just mail you some brownies. We'll be okay.
Oh my gosh, then we've hit them all. Wonderful. Yes, 5 out of 6. Thank you, Katie. This has been lovely.
My pleasure. It was a delight. Thank you for having me.
All right. And we will see you when we see you. I'm not sure when the next episode will be. Every time has stopped meaning having the same meaning. So
time is a construct of man.
Yeah. So we'll get an episode out to you soon.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.